I'm not sure if that's applause or if there's just that many mosquitoes you're trying to get. It's nice of you to applaud, but for the sake of your hands and for the sake of smooth running, still body with applause in the future. We appreciate it, but you don't need to in the future. Yeah, it's great to be a Christian. If God is for us, who can be against us? It has been well said that as Christians, we should recognize our inadequacy without God and our invincibility with God. Let's just bow our heads in a moment here and ask the Lord's blessing upon our time together. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness and your love. We thank you for this beautiful setting where you've placed this camp. We thank you for all the hard work that's gone into preparing for this weekend by your children so we can come here and enjoy good food, enjoy good ministry, enjoy comfort, and enjoy the beautiful place. We pray that you'll give us a good time this evening, a worthwhile time, and an enjoyable time. May the Lord Jesus be honored and praised. We pray in his worthy name. Amen. Give me a moment. We'll make a few adjustments here. The number of people here didn't sound a little bit. Maybe just make an adjustment or two. Now, just as we mentioned yesterday, we call ourselves a heaven heirs because that's what every Christian is an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. We're heirs to the good things that God is preparing for us. By way of brief introduction, when we introduced folks last night, Nancy Young, stand up briefly, please. Thank you. Bill Wessler, my wife, Ruthie, and I'm Dave Logan. Nice to be with you here tonight. Hope you'll have a good time. The program tonight is called Scenic Songs. And as you can see, part of the creek is scenic. That's not the scenic we're referring to. We're going to have things a little bit different. We'll go right ahead with the program.
I'm gonna be trapped in my world.
Walking home to his home after being at his grandparents' home for a Bible study. It was a dark African night. He was walking along with his parents, and he was given the fun of holding the flashlight, and they were looking because there could have been snakes along the way, or there could have been other animals. Danny looked up at his parents and said, "You know, I don't see why anyone would have to be scared with Jesus and a flashlight." Well, you know, I think that's sometimes the way we as Christians do things. We trust God if we have a few other things to hang on to as well. It's not the way we should trust Him. He is totally trustworthy. We read in Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Notice that word "all." With all thine heart. We can trust the Lord without any reservation at all. Remember what Mr. Taylor was saying this morning? God does not allow circumstances to spoil His blessing. The verse that I really love in 1 Kings, "Blessed be the Lord, there hath not failed one word of all His good promise." The Lord is good, and we can trust Him. Although the Lord is fully trustworthy, you and I as Christians aren't always that trustworthy. There's a story in the Bible that talks about a man. Well, listen to the story.
Thank you. Do you think we could use it? And Lord has needed it. These are not for children. Take it. Use it. That boy, was used of the Lord to feed 5,000 men. I think the story has a simple moral. God wants to use what we have. Are we willing to let it? Are we willing to give it to him?
Thank you, Bill. Some of the things the Lord gives us to do don't seem to be that important or that great to us, but if they're from God's lips, that he tells us to do them, then we should be ready to do them. Perhaps you've heard about the essay where some grade schoolers were asked to write about their fathers as Father's Day. And this one young fellow wrote a essay. He said, "My daddy can climb the highest mountain. My daddy can swim the biggest ocean. My daddy can fly the fastest jet plane. My daddy can fight the strongest tiger. But most of the time, my daddy carries out the garbage." Well, the garbage has to be taken out too, besides the lions and the tiger's paw. When the Lord tells us to do something, we should be eager to do it. Because little is much when God is in it. Just as there's few fish and few loaves of bread, resulted in 5,000 people being fed. This is a cute little song. Hope you enjoy it.
Love one another. And God certainly did
prove his love to us by sending his well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross, to pay for the debt of our sin. Let's sing that song. He paid the debt.
He paid the debt.
Businessman in England, who during the 70s had controlling interest in 150 different companies. With the crash of land values that occurred in 1974, his businesses started to run into difficulty. When there were problems, he would sign his own personal signature that the money was guaranteed. Unfortunately, even though he was a very wealthy man, pretty soon things began to catch up with him. And at one point, they decided they had to declare bankruptcy. A great deal of effort was put into the bankruptcy proceedings, and you know what? They came up with this total figure of how much Bill Stern owed. $208 million, $962,428. Almost $209 million. In court, Mr. Stern offered to pay back his debt at $12,000 a year. Well, that sounded pretty good. That's a lot of money. So someone decided to calculate how long it would take him to pay everyone back. Over 17,000 years. That means if he started paying when Abraham was here on earth, he'd still have about twice as long to go. You know the debt that we owed the Lord, God, we could never pay ourselves. And one reason is that we have nothing to pay with. All our righteousness is our filthy rag. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came here on earth to pay for your debt and my debt, so that we could have that debt paid. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So if you read in the paper or heard on the news a while ago, tell us, Sam, you remember who he is, a man in New York City responsible for many deaths there a few years ago. He's in jail now. He was trying to get control for the money that was coming back for articles that had been written about him. And he says the reason is that he wants to pay people back. The families of those whom he has hurt. It is false, no big deal. He says it's just that I owe them a debt and I want to pay the debt and get rid of the thing. Huh. Can you imagine by son of Sam paying even $1 million? The person who's lost a son, does that would repay us? Of course not. Our debt to God was so great, we can never repay it. only Jesus Christ by dying on the cross to pay for our sins, to take the penalty for our sins, could pay for that debt.
I'd like to play a song. It was written by a friend of ours, very close friend, whose name is Ted Alter, who's now with the Lord, and he died last fall, just about a year ago, to be with the Lord. Good word for the song. Listen to it.
Thank you, folks, for your good singing. It sure sounds good up here.
Well, those words are very true. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. They read in Hebrews. He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. A number of years ago, there was a man who was a lawyer. His name about town is a drunk, in spite of all his education. One day, a man by the name of Tom McFetters, a client of his, came in to do some business with him. And as he was leaving, Tom paused with his hand on the doorknob and said to the lawyer, "You know, I think I'm the biggest chicken this world has ever known." The lawyer says, "Why, Tom, you never impressed me with a chicken." He says, "Why do you say that?" He says, "Well, I've been wanting to ask you a question for over a year, and I haven't had the courage to do it." Well, said the lawyer, "Come right back in and sit down and ask me any question you want to." Tom said, "Why aren't you a Christian?" The lawyer said, "Well, seems to me there's a verse in the Bible that says no drunkards will get to heaven." Tom says, "You didn't answer my question." He said, "Why aren't you a Christian?" The lawyer says, "Well, to tell you the truth, I don't know how." Tom opened his Bible and he read to him John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 5:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth upon him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." When he got through quoting these verses about how a person could become a Christian, he asked the Lord, he said, "Are you ready to trust the Lord Jesus?" The Lord said, "Well, you've given me a lot to think about. If you've thought about it long enough, do it now." Well, he said, "Okay, I will." He trusted the Lord. "Do you know the name of that drunken lawyer?"
Schofield. The man whose name is on many hundreds of thousands of Bibles, because he went on to become a real Bible student and a saint of God at the age of 38, he trusted the Lord. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. No one is too great a sinner, no one is too small a sinner to come to Jesus Christ and to be saved. You know, what if Lassie were by him? Well, there's no other way. It's only by Christ that we can come to God. Well, this is so easy that I think people stumble on it. I read about a man in Spokane, Washington a few years ago. He broke into a place of business during the night, found a place, and worked diligently for several hours trying to break into the bottom of that safe. He never made it. He left without ever getting in. The evidence of his having tried was there the next morning. You know what? The door of the place was unlocked. And if that wasn't enough, the combination was up on the door, looking on a piece of paper. You know, the way to heaven is so easy that people try to stumble over. They try many, many other ways. They try to get in some other way. The Lord says, by him we come to God. Very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thou hast. I know most of us here today can look back to a day when we did believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, trusted him as Savior, and he touched our lives and changed those lives. Let's say he touched me.
Thank you.
Christians singing about the day the Lord touched them. And you know, when He touches our lives, it should surely change our lives. But when we touch other lives, it affects them for good. A missionary in Central Africa was traveling many, many days' journey away from the nearest mission station. He came to a village where there was a group of people who preached to him and told him about the love of Christ. And when he got through, he asked them if there was any Christians, or if there were any Christians there. One blind man raised his hand. The missionary went over to him and said, "How did you find out about the Lord Jesus Christ? How did you come to trust Him as your Savior?" He said, "Well, some time ago, a man came through our village, turned out to be Dr. Walter Fisher, early pioneer missionary. But a man came through our village, and he told me about the love of God, and about God, the great God of heaven, loving us so much that He sent His Son to die for us, to be our Savior. As He left us, He walked by me, and He laid His hand on my shoulder, and He said, 'God loves you.' And then He said, 'I could tell by that touch that God loved me. No one had ever touched me that way before, and I believed what He said.'" Brothers and sisters, that's the way the touch of God should change our lives. But when we touch other people's lives, they will be drawn to our blessed Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior.
Before all things, and by Him all things consist.
of the head, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I was impressed one day, I got a friend's home, and there was a Christian from behind the Iron Curtain, I believe the country was Romania. We were to have a time of prayer together, and several neighbors, Christian neighbors, had been invited in, and we were invited to hear him tell a little bit about the Lord's work behind the Iron Curtain. I happened to overhear just before the meeting started, the man who was introduced and said, now, let's see, understand that you've had a lot of suffering for the name of Christ and been in jail for the name of Christ. I understand you have a PhD and you just wanted to get things down to give a man a nice introduction. The Romanian Christian stopped him. He says, he's just telling him a brother in Christ. That's the way we should be. Christ, only Christ, should be the one who is seen in our lives. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The more time we spend in prayer with Christ, with God, the more time, the more we will become like him, and the more he will be seen in our lives. We shouldn't forget that when we pray, we should pray for our brothers and sisters, pray for others who need God's help.
and his father died. His father was a fine Christian man. The son did not know Christ as Savior, even though he knew the way. Missing his dad, he started going through some of the papers that his father had left. And he noticed that a number of contributions, this was some years ago, a number of contributions had been made to the George Mueller Orphanage. Kind of seeking what his father had, he went down to visit that orphanage. He found a revival in progress. The word of God was preached, and the man became a Christian. And he told the people at the orphanage. They were pleased, but they were not surprised. They said, "You've been prayed for by George Mueller and others every day for the past 38 years. Brothers and sisters, we underestimate the power of being in contact with the God of heaven and earth and spoken word. You and I can do that, and the reason is because you and I are his child after we have trusted him as Savior." Catholic is always laboring fervently for you in prayer that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. What is the word laboring? Praying can be labor. It can be work. And the running and feeling perhaps something else is more important. No, this is far more important. There's a labor for the Lord and a labor for our brothers and sisters and for those who are non-Christians. Perform this labor of love. Something I would do for you. I will this privilege that we have to serve God during our short time here on earth, to be in his service and to go at his direction. And whether it's down the fastest yet climbing or whether it's carrying out the baggage, the Lord tells us to do it, let's do it for him. I heard about a gentleman whose eyes were rather poor, going along here on a runway street, and Cleveland stopped him and said, "Sir, did you know you're going?" He says, "Well, I'm not sure, but I think I must be late because everyone else is coming back." Well, don't do that way in the Christian life. You're late till everyone's coming back before you get arrived and get awakened and get in the service of the Lord. But a Bible study is suggested in our home. Don't be the last one to say, "Well, okay, I'll be there." You need to be there. There's something that they're running for the Lord, to hand out plaques, to invite people to the chapel, to go to tell others about the Lord Jesus. Go do it. This is for the King of Kings that we're doing this. Do it heartily with all our might. Whatsoever you do it heartily to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ.
how clear that there are two kinds of people in the world. There is, this is not necessarily in a Christian sense, but just in general. For those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, for those who wonder what happened. In Christian life, that's the many ways to make things happen. That's the direction of God, the inner servant. In his service, he is a forefront of a battle on God's side. One way you can do it is by bringing a little joy into other people's lives. We lived in a little town called Waynesville some years ago. There's a woman there, actually the wife of the man who wrote that song, Come Listen, All You People. Most amazing Christian, you know? Someone could be sick, and just in no time flat, she finds out about it, and she's there, perhaps with something cooked to help out the family. As an emergency room in time, someone was brought in, and only within 20 minutes, Lydia Hunter was there, asking if there's anything she could do to help the family. How she found out, I don't know. But we can grant in other people's lives, bring a little joy into other people's lives by staying close to the Lord and living pleasing to Him. Let's stand right in the corner where you are. Living down here on earth, having the pleasure of serving the Lord and trying to be pleasing to Him, doing a little job for Him, the job that He gives us to do. One day, we have the immense pleasure of looking forward to seeing Him coming back personally for you and me, and to take us home to be with Himself. Isn't that great? We read in Titus, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, a bumper sticker the other day that really fooled me. But now, tomorrow you might be in heaven. Ha ha. That sounds mighty good. You know, whether the Lord chooses by breath or whether by His coming in the clouds, you know, it could be right even tonight. Even face to face and go sweeping up to heaven to be with Him forever and ever, enjoy Him, and enjoy the good things that He has prepared for us. Most of all, to enjoy the pleasure of His company. Hope that is great, and one day, that's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to say goodbye to this old world and all its problems. That's going to be a great day. Thank you. verse in the Bible that says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Brother and sister, one day we'll be at home with our Lord, enjoying the fullness of his presence. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for sending the Lord Jesus to change things around totally. Whereas at one time we were headed for hell and for eternal suffering and for weeping and for sorrow forever, to pay the debt of our own sins, oh Father, we thank you for sending your Son to pay that debt for us. So now we can have your help as we walk through life. So Father, help us to appreciate your love and your presence. Help us to walk daily with you. Help us not to try and paddle our own canoe or steal our own vehicle. Help us to look to you for the guidance and help that we need. So we know then will things go well. And Father, thank you for the blessed hope of our Lord Jesus Christ coming back personally to take us home. Should that be tonight, oh Father, we'll be so pleased. Until it is time for him to come, help us to be faithful, to serve him, to love him, to the best of our ability, by his power. We pray in his worthy name. May he be praised. Amen. Thank you, folks, for being here tonight. It's been fun to sing to you about the goodness of the Lord.